Hello and welcome to episode 6, season 1 of the Purple Patch, a Fremantle Dockers podcast brought to you by Dockers fans for Dockers fans. I'm joined as always with my fellow host, Oz. How you going,
hello,
Oz?
How you going, people? And hello, Ducks. Good to see you straight across the way from me, mate, because it was a bit weird trying to do a live pod with you.
On the phone.
On the phone, mate.
On the old dog and bone over
not
in Tasmania
a deal,
last time, mate.
As they say.
Hey, mate, let's get straight into it. The Dockers playing the Sydney Swans at 6:10 on Saturday night. Thunderstorms predicted in the morning, Oz, so it might be a bit of a wet one. The 7-9 Freo Dockers take on the 6-10 Sydney Swans. Mate, believe it or not, our last win against Sydney was in round 24, 2015. Our last three games for against the Swans have been losses of 59 points, 104 points and 90 points. That's an average of 84 points. So, hopefully we're a bit of a sniff, mate. Obviously, the big news coming out was Nathaniel Fyfe is injured,
yes,
mate. So,
yes.
Do you want to go through the teams?
Yeah, we'll start with the ins, mate. So, we've got Logue, Duman, Bewley, and Sanderlands, who are all our ins. Did I pronounce that correctly? Hopefully,
yeah,
I did.
Bewley, yep.
And out, obviously, you just mentioned Fyfe is injured. Niehaus, Hughes, and Collier, who's been admitted. And our emergencies are Hughes, Collier, Schultz, and Crowden. So what that means, Duck, is our lineup as it stands from the back line. We've got Hamling, Wilson, and Ryan. Exciting times because Blakely, Duman, and Hill form what I would call an imposing off-the-back line, if you will, run and carry. Hopefully we'll see Blake through the middle as well. Then we've got Hill, Conker, and Langdon, Tucker, Walters, and Switkowski. Matera, McCarthy, and Lobb, and our followers are Sanderlands, who the media believed had a calf injury, but has recovered from the dead to play. And we've also got Chera and Mundy with Logue, Brayshaw, Bewley, and Darcy. Sorry, not Brayshaw, the tackler, ready to roll.
Mate, very interesting. We're going in with three guys over the 200 centimetres tall. So Sanderlands, Lobb, and Darcy. So you'd assume that Lobb and Darcy will be playing a lot of upright. And the big thing is with the Sydney Swans, mate, they're very small in terms of their... they've got Alir, I believe, playing in the ruck at the moment. So it's a little bit of a tactical situation. If it gets a bit too wet, it may backfire. But I reckon Watt Ross has gone in and said, you know what, let's dominate them around the ground. Let's dominate them with the big boys in the contested possession at the coalface by having our first hand from the tap.
Clearances.
And the clearances. Mate, just in for the Swans, some of these names you would have heard, these classic names of Fox, McLean, Clark, and Stoddart. Never heard of those four blokes,
mate. Of course, yeah. Household names.
And the outs, I think it's Kieran Jack, or one of the Jacks, Cunningham, Dawson, and Ronk. Now, Dawson is quite a good player, lethal by foot.
Ronkey,
I think his name is. Not Ronk. Ronk or Ronkey, I don't know.
Not to be confused,
mate,
with the former wicketkeeper.
How many Swans games have you watched in your life live?
The ones that Freo played in.
Yeah, that's it. Like, even on TV, I'm like, yeah, Swans are on like this. I mean, they're a classic Saturday afternoon team when you're off doing something else. Mate, let's get into some key matchups.
Oh, boy.
Look, the first matchup that I'm going to look at is in the back line. Our man Nathan Wilson versus Papali. Now, Wilson's rebound from 50 has been a key for the Dockers to win in the last in that month that we had a really good run. He reflects the Dockers, and he's often the barometer of our success in terms of his pressure that he brings in the back line and also his run and carry. Mate, we are 3-0 when he gets 25-plus possessions. So Wilson getting 25 disposals would be, have me licking my lips. Papley, on the other hand, small forward, and small forwards have taken us to task in the last month in particular. The Swans are 5-1 when Papley kicks two goals or more. Interesting little fact there. And he's the leading goal scorer for the Swans with 27 goals, 21, mate. So key to shutting him down. Now, I know Wilson's done some pretty good jobs in the back line on the small forwards, but we need him not just to defend but also attack and give us that rebound and run. So that would be a big jewel that if we can see that go ahead, it will help us going to the win.
And I love also watching Wilson play when he's in full stride. We comment on that all the time, yeah. Duck. So let's hope that
his
that
run
comes
and carry,
fruition.
Mate, very important to
absolutely.
The Dockers.
All right, hitting the midfields, Duck. A couple of things to talk about, mate. The first crucial matchup, in my opinion, involves Darcy Tucker. Okay. So I see him moving to Luke Parker, who's ranked 10th in total clearances, total centre clearances, and averages a tick under 26 disposals a game. Vital for the Swans and capable of changing the tide of game. So very experienced, needs to be held under his average of 6 clearances a game, but I believe this could be a matchup that influences Sydney's forward drive. So if Tucker can have his influence, can potentially sway the
can
battle.
Negate.
Exactly.
To negate, yeah. And we haven't seen Ross use a tagger much, but I think Parker is very important. And if they can shut him down and stop his clearance work, I think that's one step towards the Dockers getting the big W.
Absolutely. Now the second one here, this has got me
licking
my lips. The juicy matchup for me is what I'd like to call, Duck, the Battle of the Juggernauts.
Okay.
We've got our spiritual leader, David Mundy, versus the Raging Bull in Josh Kennedy. Now, currently ranked 6th in stoppage clearances per game, Kennedy has forever been the heart of the Sydney midfield and is still churning out impactful performances at 31 years of age. So he's rolling around quite well. And he's averaging 27 disposals and just under 7 clearances per game. Also responsible for around 4 inside 50s per game, which should not be underestimated. Now match that to the man that we should just call Cap. Shout out to the Marvel series, who is currently averaging 29 disposals. Cap is also averaging 4.5 inside 50s or thereabouts. Now to me, the point of difference is Mundy's ability to move forward, potentially win the game off his own boot. We know that he's critical at the death. He's shown that with his kicks. Are we going to see that potentially? We're going to see another kick after the siren. I'm just alluding to something down the track there, so keep that in mind. But I do think that Mundy has the edge in the Battle of the Juggernauts.
Oh, very interesting there, mate. Dave Mundy as well, 36 disposals versus West Coast.
That's
the last
right.
time Fife
didn't play. Yes.
So and was probably best on, but didn't get the Glenn Denning Allen medal.
Ripped
anyway,
off.
In the forward line, mate, a little bit of an interesting lineup here. Adam Chera versus Lloyd, Jake Lloyd, I think his name is, from Sydney. Now, Chera played on Burgoyne last week, and, you know, he's really been down after a quiet month, and he was sick about a month ago. But, look, his skills inside 50 are going to be crucial to the Dockers, and especially in that half-forward role, which we always talk about, is a little bit trickier than more to play. But like we spoke to Andy Brayshaw on Tuesday, mate, and he said, look, it takes time to get used to the half-forward role. So hopefully Chera has just started to settle into that now. We may see him move into the guts a bit more, but I have a feeling he's going to be half-forward, playing that defensive role, and then really making the most of it when it's his turn to get the ball and using those sneaky skills.
Yes.
Now, he only needs it 15 times to cut a game apart, Chera, but let's see that those elite kicking skills in particular, and let's see him play a really good game on Lloyd. Now, Lloyd, on the other hand, mate, dominates across the half-back flank. Mate, could have a big game against us considering our inside 50 movement has been a little bombish. And considering we're going to have two big giants down in the forward line, it may go revert back to that bombish style. But I'd love to see the guys. We've got Kermack in there. Lower the eyes. Hit Kermack on the lead. Use Sonny Walters if we can up forward in a bit, but he'll be playing mainly through the midfield with Fife out. You know, but use the targets, hit the targets. And, mate, I reckon Chera might kick, two or three.
Oh, this is
exciting.
I've got a funny
feeling. He's not a bad overhead mark as well, young Adam.
Well, what I like about Adam Chera's ability, like you said, to hit left and right. So if he's got the ability to get more of the ball and we're getting the ball to him, then you just watch his silky skills in action. I'm quite excited by this, Duck. I think we're starting to probably see a little bit more of him in a different role, which is great. And like you said, given the opportunity, I think he's got that potential to kick a couple of sausage rolls. Let's hopefully see that this weekend.
Now, Oz, before we go to the break, we've got to tell you about a competition that's happening at halftime of the Freo Dockers game. So at halftime of the Freo Dockers game, guys, Programmed, one of Dockers' major sponsors, is giving one fan the chance to win a trip to NASA.
What?
Okay, Florida. It includes flights, accommodation, $2,000 spending money. All right, all you've got to do, okay, this is all you got to do. Download the Freo Dockers official club app, which I believe everyone who's listening to this is obviously got it already on their phone. be in your seat at halftime, okay? Open the Freo app when you see the activate button on the home screen, okay? And when time comes, light up Optus Stadium. So,
oh boy.
In the anniversary of the 50th anniversary of the moon landing, which definitely happened. guys, the Dockers are through programmed to giving away a trip to NASA, and that's got me licking my lips a bit going to Florida, mate.
Very important question. Mm. Are we eligible? Because technically we're not employers of the club.
Yeah. Man, they're like in your seats. Like, at halftime, man, rather than eating sausage rolls.
We'll just push someone out.
Let's get the...
Yeah.
Because it's chosen at random.
Yeah.
Oh. Mate, if I want a trip to Florida, mate. Shut the gate. All right, guys, we've got a break. When we come back, we've got dual citizens and the first time they met and our predictions.
This is a new one, mate. It's called New Contracts to celebrate the two new contracts that were signed by both Cam Mack and Griffin Logue. So congratulations to these guys.
Welcome back. What a banger by you, DJ Oz Nation, mate. That had me reminiscing playing some Nintendo video
games.
That's
the idea. 32. Was it 16-bit? 16-bit.
Mate, that's a classic, Oz. Yeah. The people are calling for you to be on Spotify, mate, we're going to have to invest some of our money in you into Spotify. Mate, let's get into dual citizens, guys.
Ooh.
Now, our dual citizen for this week is a guy who actually designed the Dockers Indigenous Jumper this year. And it's one Troy Cook.
That's right. Yes, he did too.
All right, Troy Cook, look, grew up in Carnarvon. Obviously, the design of the jumper was to do with Gascoyne River. Mate, in 1993, played the State 18s with Shawnee Mack and Belly. What a combo that is. Mate, played 40 games for Perth between 94 and 96. So didn't get drafted as an 18-year-old. Was runner-up in the Sandover medal in 96. Then was pick 26 in the 96 draft, taken by... Sydney, played 43 games for Sydney, and interesting enough, Oz, played under one Damien Drum in Sydney.
Right.
Very interesting, mate. Traded to Freo at the end of 1999 after pick 34, who was later traded on by Sydney to Collingwood for Andrew Shawble and Matt Kinnear in pick 34. That pick 34 turned out to be Neon Leon Davis.
Oh,
mate, and those people have played country cricket and or footy before. His brother, Bomber Davis, I played cricket against him, mate, and I edged him through the slips about 10 times. And he was like, he had a go at me, and I was like, man, bowling at the stumps, and I'm out. Like, and he hit a six, man, like dead set. We're at this oval, and I was like, I remember my brother was playing, I was watching. It was like, oval, 30-meter gap, 6-meter high fence. Right, and he hit it over the fence, cut shot over the fence for six, biggest six I've ever seen. He also, my old man saw him kick goal from 60 meters out, goalpost side. That's not Leon Davis, that's his brother Bomber, mate. Like a country legend, mate. Back onto Troy Cook, however, mate, played 150 games for the Dockers between 2000 and 2007. Doig Medal winner in 2000, fifth in 2001. 2005 was best clubman. Was named in the Dockers 25 in 25. Overall for Perth, Swans and the Fremantle Dockers, played 303 games, mate. He's a life member at the Perth Football Club, and obviously I think he's introduced into the Hall of Fame, maybe. Life member at the Dockers as well. Mate, and the big thing about him, tried hard, like one of the all-time tacklers. I think he was like one of the original, like just awesome tacklers.
Yep.
Awesome tacklers, mate. Skills maybe not the best, but his effort... contested beast, mate, you know, run all day, and just his tackles were the thing that, you know, got everyone licking their lips. Now, Oz, can I take you back in time now? I know you're going back to the first time we met.
Yes.
Can I take you back to around 14, 2003?
Go.
At Subiaco in front of 28,000 people, mate, against one of the greatest teams of all time, the Brisbane Lions. The 2003 Brisbane Lions, mate, a very, very good team. Mate, the Dockers... 10-15-75 defeated the Brisbane Lions 10-12-72 by 3 points that day. Now, we'd come off, I think, you know, we're in a bit of a rebuild. Mate, Troy Cook had a lazy 35 disposals and led the team in disposals, led the team against a awesome midfield that the Brisbane Lions had on that day and got us up for the big W, mate.
You know, this is a bit of a side note here, but the one thing I remember about Troy Cook was his presence. And in the 2003 elimination final against Essendon, where he was missing, we just lacked a little bit. And I thought if we had of had Big Cookie around, I reckon we probably would have won that game.
And it was everything about him, mate. He was like a cult hero. His dreadlocks, you know, it's the tackling, it was the effort, you know, and it's all those things that made him a really, pretty much a cult hero.
Oh, yeah.
The Dockers, mate. Like, he was awesome. And like that, those tackles, like those big crunching tackles, mate. It's that kind of stuff that, you know, we're seeing a little bit in Andy Brayshaw now, but it's something like that, a guy who's a little bit of an enforcer, maybe.
Well, we are going to probably copyright the term tackler, but we will say that...
I call him tackler!
There's nothing wrong with talking about your love for past players. And I'm going to say that Cookie was the first official Fremantle player where I bought a shirt that had Cookie across with his head coming out of the O. Now, this was a bootleg shirt. Ooh. I believe that. I'm not sure if it was made by Dockerland.com or whoever it was, but I remember I had a choice of that or Knock on Woods or something like that. And I went with the Cookie shirt, and it was my favorite shirt of all time in terms of Freo Dockers.
Fantastic, man.
Unfortunately, the dog shredded it one day.
Yeah.
There was tears that were shed outside, I'll tell you.
Maybe that's what we start making. It's a bootleg T-shirt. Maybe that's our style. Some old retro ones. It'd be very good. All right, mate, let's go to first time they met.
Oh, baby. Now, let me take you back to round six of the 1995 season on a balmy Sunday afternoon where the mighty Fremantle Dockers played Sydney at the Wacker. Duck.
At Did the we Wacker. Not play him in 95?
Yeah, we did. 95. Round 6 of 1995.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Of the Wacker. Now, talk about high scores, Duck. I have a question for you. Okay. Now, you've got the answer there. You've got the answer there. I've just
realised.
Mate,
that is unbelievable.
My question to you was going to be, guess what the Dockers scored? Now, you know, because
I've
just printed
mate,
it out. But that's all right.
You shouldn't have given me that
piece
of
paper. No, sorry. Well, I've got to be prepared.
Mate, the score. Mate. And the Dockers kicked 25 goals, 30.
Yes, correct. 163 we scored. Against, what do you think?
I'm going to say 16-9, 105.
Great guess. Well done, mate. That's absolutely sensational.
Mate, how's John Hutton kick 8 goals, 5?
Yes, so...
That is unbelievable.
Usual suspects, mate. In and under, Scotty Waters grabbing 28 disposals. McGovern, 22. And, of course, the Prince of Pockets, Scotty Chisholm, had 20 possessions. Now can you just go here for a second?
Sorry, just before you jump ahead, I think Scotty Waters and Andrew McGovern were both Sydney players as well.
Yeah, correct.
Both dual citizens.
That is correct.
Mm. Mate, what about Winston Abraham kicking 6 straight?
Yeah, mate. Now, I'll get to that in a second. Johnny Hutton was Steph Curry-like. He kicked 8 goals, but you know what, Duck? If he had a kick straight, he would have kicked 13 goals.
Oh, mate.
13. Raining goals. Now, the Brownlow votes were 3 for Ben Allen, 2 for Winston Abraham, and 1 for the Prince of Pockets. But, yeah, Winnie Abraham kicked 6 straight. Now.
So, did Hutton get any votes?
No.
So Hutton kicked 8 goals, 5, didn't get a vote.
Correct, because he didn't kick straight.
Oh.
You know.
Mate, how are you having 13 shots on goal and
well,
don't
mate,
get any votes, mate?
Now, the strength of the opposition. Let's start with these guys. Paul Kelly.
Oh.
Michael O'Loughlin.
Oh.
Paul Ruse.
Oh.
Tony Lockett, who, by the way, kicked 5 goals. Dunkley. Huskis. Creswell. Darren Gaspar.
Oh.
Tony Lockett, mate. This wasn't a bum team. This was a legit team. Now.
I watched Tony Lockett play his last game in WA.
Did you?
They played Dockers at the Wacker, I believe.
Right.
Maybe.
Yeah. Mm. Now, we're going to go into a deep dive again, Duck.
Yeah.
Today's deep dive involves a young man by the name of Scott Edwards. Who is Scott Edwards? Good question. I'm glad you asked that one.
Wouldn't have a
Scott
clue,
played man. At Claremont from 1988 to 94 before being taken at pick 13 in the 1994 pre-draft selection. He was actually 190 centimetres and around 79 kegs at his playing weight. Played a total of 15 games for the Dockers between 95 and 96. His actual best for Freo was against Fitzroy in 1995, where he clocked up 17 disposals, 4 marks and 5 tackles. But did you know that whilst playing for Claremont, the young man that we call Scott Edwards racked up 129 games and was part of 4 premierships?
Mate, one of the Claremont dynasty guys.
Boy, oh boy. There you go. There's my deep dive, and there's the... 100. Mate, can we just go back to that? 163 points.
Yeah. Mate, if
we're doing that this week? Are we doing
163
that this week?
163 points this week. I don't know what I'd do.
163. But just think about that.
Yeah. Mate, if we kick 163 points, I might fly to the moon myself in honor of the NASA. The moon landings.
I reckon NASA should fly us there personally.
To the moon.
Yeah.
That's our
idea. Do a pod from the moon.
What's more likely? The moon landing was real or we kick 160? Anyway, guys, hey, let's get into some predictions.
Okay.
Oz, do you want to kick us off? Do you want me to?
No, you go because...
I'm going to start, mate, and I'm going to... Yeah. Look, I know... Last week I said there may be Siren Gate, and of course I put it on the website. Thanks very much to you, Wardy. Look, guys, I think with Fife out, it's going to be a real tough one. I think it's weird because morale and the way we're playing seems to be quite low, skills quite low at the moment. But hey, back in Perth, back in the home deck, Sydney missing a lot of players. I think the big tall bloke's going to have a good game. I reckon it's going to be tight like always, mate. We don't belt anyone. But I'm going to say it's less than a kick in it either way.
Well, funny you should say that, Doug. Mm. I'm going to start with this.
Yeah.
Beware the wounded tiger.
Okay.
That's not just the Asian in me coming out.
Okay.
Captain's out.
Yeah.
But the cap that I referred to before, the spiritual leader, Dave Mundy, is going to lift this team over the line with the last kick of the game.
Monday to win it after the siren. Jeez.
Yeah. I'm not going to predict if it's a goal or a point. Doesn't matter, but it's under a kick.
Nice. All right. Happy days, guys. Well, guys, thanks very much for listening. Remember to rate, subscribe. Subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get podcasts. Remember as well, guys, we've got another podcast called The Purple Rain. So if you'd like to join us on any kind
Purple
of social media,
Rain.
We're purple at Purple Rain 95. Thank you very much for listening. And remember, guys, please... We're going to get through this together. So let's do it as a group. Keep listening.
As a family.
As one Fremantle brotherhood.
Maybe. Everybody love everybody.
All right. All right, guys. Thank you very much for listening. And we'll see you on Saturday. Remember, download the Dockers app and sit in your seats at halftime. And you could win a trip to bloody Florida, mate. See some rockets and stuff.
Go Freo.